Good evening, partners of A New Thing Ministries. This is Kalita, and we are so excited to share with you tonight. I want to apologize right off the bat if you have trouble hearing me for anything. We've just had a storm go through, so I'm hoping that it will clear up. But nevertheless, Kim has an awesome word tonight prepared on victory, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about the month of Elul. So we are just going to get right into the teaching tonight, and I'm going to hand it over to Kim. So, Kim, take it away.
Kalia, can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you.
Okay. Okay. I'm with Kalia. We apologize. We've had a few technical difficulties, but we're going to continue on and give the word tonight that the Lord has given me to share with you, and I pray it's a blessing to you. When I woke up this past Sunday morning, the first words that I heard was, position yourself. And I knew what the Lord was talking to me about because there's a couple of scriptures that he's been talking to me about all year long that are such amazing scriptures that it's almost hard to comprehend that this could actually manifest in your life. And I felt like God has been telling me that you can't receive those words or that word until you have a victory mindset or until you have a mindset that can receive those things, because they're so far beyond what we've ever seen in our lives or what we have seen take place even in other people's lives that it's hard for us to comprehend. And the only way that we can is if we develop a victory mindset. So I knew God was telling me Sunday morning that I needed to position myself with the right mindset, the right thought pattern, because that, as we know and have talked about many times, is where the battle is ultimately won. We've all heard the saying, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right. See, for us believers, the Bible says in Philippians 4:3, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't even read that verse without remembering a time and season when I was going through these tremendous battles, and it seemed to be just one hit after the other after the other. So I cried out to God one morning, and I said, God, I can't take this anymore. And that morning, the Lord rebuked me, and he said, never say you can't take anything that the enemy dishes out, for the greater one dwells in you, and you can take anything he dishes out and overcome. So I've always remembered that, and I don't think I've ever again said, I can't take this anymore. Now, I know that feeling. I know that feeling well, and I know most of us have been there. But tonight, I hope you come away knowing that when you win the victory in your mind, that the victory has ultimately been won. You've got to believe in God and in what God says he'll do in you and through you before you can have a foundation for personal victory. You've got to see yourself through the eyes of God. That must take place before victory will ever come into view for you. Proverbs 23:7 says, for a man thinks, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. This could not be more true. Whatever you think in your heart, that's what you're going to see take place in your life, and that's what's going to come out of your mouth. It is your own thinking that will determine your overall victory or your overall defeat. There's a book that I'm sure most of you have heard about by Norman Vincent Peale, The Power of Positive Thinking. It's been an inspirational bestseller for many years, and the book has helped many people achieve success. And it doesn't teach positive thinking in the way to bring fame and fortune, but it teaches it in a practical way of how to use your faith to overcome defeat. We are people of faith, and to overcome, we have to believe the Word of God, first of all, and then we have to believe what God will do through us in the Word of God. You've got to believe what God says about you, and you've got to have faith in your own ability to do, just as Philippians said, all things through Christ who strengthens you. You've got to understand that the facts that are facing you today are not as important as how you react to it, as your attitude toward those things. I have been up against some very difficult things and purposed in my heart to keep a good attitude, to keep a thankful heart through it all, and I've seen God turn those around. On the other hand, I have had things come against me, and I've gotten into anger or I've gotten into unbelief, and I've watched God not be able to turn those things around for me because of my own attitude and my own mindset toward those things. It is my attitude in the midst of a battle that will determine success or failure. To overcome, I have to first develop a victory mentality and maintain that victory mentality through the entire time. Yes, we're going to get tired and weary, and yes, we're going to want to give up at times, but if we can purpose in our heart to maintain a mentality of victory, we will win. A victory mentality knows and fully believes that the battle will come to an end and you will taste ultimate victory. But many people, especially those that have gone through very hard battles or hard challenges or hard times, often develop a victim mentality. They begin to think that it's never going to get any better. They begin to think they'll never be able to overcome. They begin to think that everything they're saying or confessing or praying or giving is having no effect because nothing ever changes. And if you allow that to get into your mind, you will become a person with a victim mentality. And you cannot overcome with the victim mentality. You have to allow God to work a victorious mentality in your mind and in your thought life. It is your thinking in line with scriptures that will permeate you with a victory mentality. When you believe what the Word of God says about you, the victim mentality has to go. And it will be replaced with an overcomer's mentality because the Word of God will become alive in you. What ministers say, until your thought lines up with the truth, your triumph is not in view. Until your thoughts line up with the truth is found in the Word of God. When your thoughts begin to line up with the truth of the Word of God, your triumph will be in view. It is what you think, not what others think. I know a lot of us have passed and have done things in our past that we're not happy about or proud of, and other people might think you're a person that God can never use. That doesn't have anything to do with it. It's what you think about what the Word of God says about you. A man named Oliver Holmes once said, "Man's mind, once stretched by a new idea or thought, never regains its original dimensions." What does that mean? That means when you renew your mind to the Word of God to the point that you have a victor's mentality, your mind will never go back to a victim mentality. It's your own perspective of who you are that determines your success, not anyone else's. I read a story about a man that is now a very well-known motivational speaker, and he talks about the dramatic turnaround that he had at a very young age. When he was a small boy, he was labeled as mentally retarded. He was daily told that he would never amount to anything. He wouldn't be able to learn. He wouldn't be able to do this. He wouldn't be able to do that. He would never excel above a certain grade level. But one day, a teacher came across his path that was a positive-minded teacher. And this man disregarded all of the self-limiting beliefs and excuses that had been given to this man and instead said to him, "Someone's opinion of you does not have to become your own reality." I think that is an awesome statement. Someone's opinion of you does not have to become your reality. Your reality is found in the Word of God. Your reality is what God says about you and nothing less. That statement that day altered his mentality, and he never went back to believing what had once been said about him. Why? Because man's mind, once stretched by a new idea, never goes back to the old ones. If you believe the lies of the enemy, you will have a victim mentality, and you will have many excuses of why you can't succeed or why it's not working for you or why you fail. And it will probably never be your own fault. But if you stay in the Word of God and you renew your mind daily to what God says about you, you will have the mentality of a victor. You will have the mentality of an overcomer. Now, we all know, we've heard it for years. I think Joyce Meyer first said that the battle is in the mind. And it truly, truly is. Once you change your mind and your thoughts and what you're focusing on, everything else around you will line up with that. I love what it says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5. I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh as mortal men, we are not carrying on our own spiritual warfare according to the flesh and using the weapons of man. The weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and every purpose captive to the obedience of Christ." We all know this scripture, but do you realize that when you apply this and you take every lie of the enemy captive and cast it down, that you are renewing your mind and you're causing your mind to come in line with the Word of God? And God has never, ever had a victim mentality. He is the overcomer. He is the victor. And as we renew our minds will become like his, like the mind of Jesus Christ. That's what the Word of God promises us. If life can be warfare, and we all know it is, then our mind is the battlefield or the war front. Therefore, that's where we have got to focus on changing. That's what we've got to focus on resetting or renewing. You have to capture your victory first in your mind, in your thoughts. You have to capture your victory first in your thoughts. The Bible says you are more than a conqueror in Christ. That is why personal transformation begins with a mental renewal, a change of perspective, a victor's mentality. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, in the New Living Translation, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." That is how God transforms us, by causing us to change the way we think. And you never stop renewing your mind. I learned many things about God 25 years ago, but every single day to this day, I'm continuing to learn more and more about God and what he says about me as I continue to renew my mind in his word. Listen, there is no obstacle that can stand before you if you change your mind and cause your mind to line up with the Word of God. No matter what that obstacle is, if your mind can capture the possibility of victory, you have already overcome. The moment your mind changes is the moment you overcome. We all know the story about when Moses sent out the 12 spies in Numbers 14. 10 of those spies, we've heard it over and over again, but I don't think we realize how true it is. 10 of those spies saw that they could not possess the promised land, even though God had theirs and that he would give it to them. Even with God saying that, they still felt they could not possess the promised land. And you know what? They didn't. They did not. It was exactly as they thought. But Joshua and Caleb, they believed they could possess the promised land. Why? because God said they could. That's all they had backing them up. That's all they had to go on, and that's all they needed. And, you know, they got what they believed, too. Both parties got exactly what they thought, exactly what they believed. The ten died in the wilderness, unable to ever possess the promises of God. But the two, they went on even after many years in the wilderness and at old age and took the land that God said they could have. I heard a teacher make a profound statement one time before her class of supposedly average students. She said, "Your I can is more important than your IQ." This is vital to know in developing a victor's mentality. If you think you can do this, you can do this. I remember when I was working for Norval Hayes Ministries and I first wanted to start my own business. I wanted to help other ministries succeed. That's the first thing I did after I worked for Brother Norval. I wanted to help them create newsletters and correspondence courses. And back then it was tape ministries and things like that. I wanted to help those ministries that couldn't afford to pay full-time staff. And I went to a printer that I had met at Norval's ministry, and I talked to him and said, "Here's what I want to do." And he said, "Here's what you do, Kim." He said, "No matter what they ask you to do, never say, 'I don't know how to do that.' You just say, 'Okay, let me check into that and I'll get you a price on it.'" And he said, "Then you come to me and I'll tell you how to do it, and then you can give them a price on it." And I think that has been 25 or 30 years ago, and I still, since that printer told me that one day, never tell them you can't do it. Always let them believe you can do it, and I'll teach you how to do it. I have had that mentality about everything from that day forth. If something comes up in the ministry that I would like to do, I've never had the mentality that I can't do it. I have, just like that, what I read to you a while, just a few minutes ago, once your mind receives a certain truth, it never goes back from that. That day, my mind received that truth of what the printer told me, and I've always believed whatever it was, I could figure out a way to do it. That is an overcomer's mentality. My "I can do this" became greater than the training that I had in that area. And it can for you too. But no one can live beyond the limits of what he believes. If you believe you cannot, you will be just like the 10 spies and you will not be able to achieve it. You can talk to yourself and say, yes, I can, but if you don't truly believe that, your potential will have to bow to your unbelief. And it'll become a victim of what you truly believe. On the other hand, if you believe you can do anything, then you can do anything. You see, it doesn't matter how gifted or how intelligent or how educated you are, how many degrees you have. It is your mind that keeps you small, and it is your mind that keeps you from overcoming. On the other hand, it does not matter how disadvantaged you may think you are or how unprepared you may think you are, it is your mind that will cause you to become victorious. I have personally done things in the ministry, and God has led me to do things that have just absolutely astounded me. I've never thought he would take me the places that he has taken me, but he has, and much of that is because I have chosen to believe what the Word of God says about me. Think about a lion. I mean, even, you know, when we just think about a lion, we think ferocious. A lion in the jungle is not the biggest or the baddest. He's nowhere near the biggest in the jungle. But that doesn't bother him one bit. The lion's authority is rooted in who he thinks he is and what he thinks he can do. He acts the way he acts because of what he thinks, and he radiates dominion authority. this lion, even a small lion, has so much dominion mentality that elephants that are four times his size run from him. That's the same way Joshua and Caleb were. They had a dominion mentality that believed they could go in and take the land. The other 10 believed they couldn't. But you know, if you read the Bible, in Numbers 13, it says that the enemies that they were going to come up against were terrified of God's people. Had those 10 just had the mentality to go in and take the land, they would have been able to take the land because everyone knew God was with them, and everyone knew that if God was with them, they could not overcome them. And I wish we could all get that same mentality to where we know God is with us and nothing can overcome us. Nothing can stand before us. The children of Israel, they won or lost the battle that very day in their mind and in their words that came out of their mouth. I thank God that Joshua and Caleb possessed a victorious mindset to show us that we are able to have the same mindset and to go in and take what God has for us. The secret to anyone rising to victory is what happens in his mind, which is the product of his own belief system. You can listen to people preach the word, teach the word day and night. Do you know you could listen to it for 30 years and never really believe it? You've got to renew your own mind personally until you come to the day that you believe it. You believe the word of God more than whatever is standing before you. You have to change your mind to a mindset of victory if you're ever going to change your outcome. I remember the day that my daughter had Bryson. I think about it a whole lot because I had spent years in the Word of God renewing my mind to being an overcomer and believing that nothing was impossible with God, and that's all well and good until you stand there and you face certain things and your faith is really, really tested. And that day, my daughter was in labor and I don't know what happened. Something medically happened and her heart stopped. And I'm sitting there looking at my daughter who is not breathing, has not had my grandson, her heart is not beating. And, you know, the calling all the nurses and doctors to try to resuscitate her, and something just like that lion, something rose up in the inside of me, and I heard Kenneth Copeland scream in my ear, "Know your authority." And I jumped up on top of my daughter on that bed, and I picked her up by the shoulders, and I began to command her to live and not die. And I did that until she took a deep breath and started breathing again. There's going to come a time in your life when you're going to know for a certainty if you have a victor's mentality or if you have a victim's mentality. And that day, if I had have not chosen to have a victor's mentality, my daughter and my grandson would not be here with me today. But you see, I'm one of those that I intend to have what God says is mine. And whatever I have to do, whatever I have to renew in my mind, whatever I have to study, whatever I have to press into, whatever I have to do to gain and maintain the mentality of a victory, that is what I'm going to do. Now, the scripture that I was talking to you about when I first started this teaching, it's found that God just keeps talking to me about this scripture. All year long, he's talked to me about this, and I've shared it with you guys a couple of times. One instance is found in 1 Kings 5:4, and it says, "But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor evil occurrence." And Joshua 21:44 says, "The Lord gave them rest all around according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand." And then we see this same promise again in 2 Chronicles 20 and 30. "Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around." Guys, I just want you to imagine that. I want you to ponder on those scriptures. I want you to think about that. Can you imagine that in your entire generation, the entire time that you live on this earth, that your God would give you rest on every side and there would be no adversary, no evil occurrence in you, your children, or your children's children? That is an awesome thing that God said, and he didn't say it just one time in the Word of God. He said it three times. But for me to ever be able to lay hold of the promise that God will give me rest all around and that he would give every enemy into my hand, I'm going to have to first develop a victor's mentality. I'm going to have to renew my mind so intently to the Word of God, knowing what he says about me, knowing what he says he'll do for me and through me, that I lay hold of the scripture, because anything less than that, I will not be able to lay hold of the scripture. And this is what I pray for me and my family every day. This is what I pray for our partners every day, that the Lord my God would give you rest on every side, and no adversary would be able to stand before you, and no evil occurrence would happen in any of your families. That is what we're standing on for you. But for you to be able to receive that and have the same spirit that Joshua and Caleb had, you're going to have to renew your mind to the Word of God. You're going to have to believe what he said he would do for you. So tonight, that's the one thing I want to get across to you. If you're going to lay hold of your victory, you're going to have to first have victory in your mind and victory in your thoughts. Then victory will come out your mouth, and then God will not let one of your words fall to the ground. That's the word I have for you tonight, and now Kalita is going to talk to us a little bit about the month we're in.
Kim, that was awesome. I took so many notes on top of my notes that I'm going to have to decipher again. I love this one. It says, it's your own thinking that will determine your victory or defeat. That's,
yes.
That's a pondering statement. And the other one was, I've got several. You must capture victory first in your thoughts. That is so true. I mean, we know this, but when you hear it again, it just like the light bulb goes off. And this was just really, really good. I'm definitely going to have to listen to the playback again where I can not be thinking about what I'm going to say in a few minutes and take more notes, because it was really, really good. So Thank you. You're welcome. So just briefly, we're going to talk a little bit about the month of Elul, E-L-U-L. I'm going to give you a few characteristics. The alphabet, I thought this was neat. The alphabet in the Hebrew is Y-U-D, and it means appointed mercy from the hand of God. So this is the month where there is appointed mercy from the hand of God. And we all know that we've been shown much mercy this year. We've heard through the prophetic that we've been spending the currency of mercy. So this is just awesome that even in the Jewish calendar, he appointed this month for the hand of mercy. Some characteristics of this month is, the one that you'll hear the most is, this is the month that the king is in the field. It's a month to fix what is broken and a month to find your place in the company of the Lord. Now, the reason that mercy comes this month, this is what I think. Elul follows the months of Tammuz and Av, and these months are the months when Israel built the golden calf. That would have been Tammuz. And then in Av, they believed the bad report, and they didn't get to go into the promised land like Kim just taught. So In Jewish times, they just came through two really, really bad months, actually. And they brought it on themselves, but still, they went through these tough times. And then what does God do? He turns around and offers mercy. Elul is the redemption, and it's called the month of repentance, forgiveness, and mercy. And I love that. I love that mercy always triumphs over judgment. I love that. It just reminds me, you know, that Jesus, when he went to the cross, he already chose mercy. He already chose mercy because he died for us when we were in our sins. So I love this month. Now, a side note before I get back to the king in the field was the eclipse yesterday. And you'd have to be living under a rock if you didn't watch the eclipse, hear about the eclipse, or talk about it to somebody. But interesting note, the total eclipse that took place did so on the 1st of Elul. And that's, you might say, well, what does that mean? Well, I don't know the full ramifications or the full meaning of that, but when you think about it, when God planned the whole earth out, he planned this total eclipse to take place on this, yesterday, on that day, the 1st of Elul, 5777 of the Hebrew year, or April or August 21st, 2017. But I heard one prophetic statement say that when the eclipse went across the United States, it was like the wiping of the slate for America, because this total eclipse goes from sea to shining sea, which is awesome. Also, I thought this was neat. The longest dark period, which happened in Illinois, lasted 2 minutes and 41 seconds. And America just happens to be 241 years old. And if you know God, he is really good about numbers. He didn't just happen to say, oh, I'm going to do this in this year, and, oh, by the way, it's 241. No, he knows exactly what he's doing. The first of Elul is also when the 40 days of repentance starts on the Jewish calendar, leading people up to Rosh Hashanah, or to the head of the year, which that began yesterday as well. And I thought that was interesting because they came through the month of Tammuz and Av, which were not good months. They didn't make really good choices. And then now is the month of mercy, and then they took 40 days to repent because Rosh Hashanah is coming up. I thought that was really interesting. So repentance, this is a month to be repenting, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me back up just a second. The other thing about the eclipse is we haven't had a total eclipse like this in America for, I think, for the entire span of America, for about 99 years. I could be wrong, but I think that's what I read. But we are going to have another one in only 7 years. And if you know anything about numbers, 7 is a big number for the Lord. And I've heard this prophetically. Kim and I have been talking about this as well, that we're entering into a 7-year window of grace and mercy to get the harvest in. And I really believe that we should all pray and ask the Lord, what is our assignment for these next 7 years? I'm not saying that the Lord's coming back in 7 years. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is there's a 7-year window between this eclipse and the next eclipse, and they both are from sea to shining sea. So I'm going to be asking the Lord, what is my portion? What is my part? What do I need to do? Just as Joseph went ahead for his family and prepared for the days of famine. Maybe this is a preparation time, but certainly there's a key, and I believe God will speak to us if we'll ask him. So I would say this month is the month to get real with repentance and real with the king. This is the month in Jewish culture where the king would come out of the palace and he would come into the field with the people. And this is important because if you know the story of Esther, when she went before the king, there was much protocol, and you couldn't just get an audience with the king without him summoning you or without someone going before you and getting an audience with him. There was protocol, and she had to be, you know, prepared for a year, and there was just much. She risked her life to go before the king, and all of a sudden, the king is in the field, which means he's coming out, and he's dwelling among his people. He's coming, you know, and walking with us. You know, if we were going to go visit the Queen of England or the King of Jordan, we would have to travel to his or her palace. We would have to be vetted, you know, like a background check. We would have to go through customs, through security. We'd have to have the proper attire, etiquette. We would be limited in our conversation as to what we could say to them. But when the king is in the field, he is saying he is coming to us. He is setting aside the protocol and he is coming and dwelling in the field among us. This is marvelous. This is also a type and shadow of King Jesus coming to earth as a man, laying aside his royalty to dwell among us. And this is the month the king would set up his tent in the field, in with the common people, and all who wanted to see him were welcomed. Now, we know that Hebrews tells us so we can come boldly to the throne of grace, yes. And we know that now that Jesus has died and rose again, we have access all the time. However, as Kim has been teaching these last few months, there is something about acknowledging this time when he said he would meet with us. There's something about acknowledging his first fruits and the new moon and the feast. There's something about honoring Jesus' Jewish roots. There's something about that. So if this is the month that he says he's coming into the field, he is wanting intimacy with us. Now, in Hebrew, the first letter of each word in the phrase from Song of Solomon 6:3, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine, it spells the word Elul. So God is trying to tell us that we are his beloved. And this is something that we could meditate on. Also, in the month of Elul, the Jewish people read or recite. They're fabulous at memorizing the word. This is something that we need to do more of. But they recite Psalm 27 daily, in the morning and at evening before they go to bed. The month of Elul is also associated with the tribe of Gad, which means good fortune. Gad was known for strength and fierceness as a warrior. He was described as valiant and skillful in battle, and he was trained for war. So this is a month also, as we are setting our sights for the future, we're asking the Lord, you know, what do you want us to do? We're coming in his presence with repentance. And he gives us forgiveness and mercy. This is the month that he will strengthen us for fierceness to be a warrior. He is going to give us, help us to be valiant and skillful in battle. He's training us for war. Now, why is all this important or relevant? Well, there's a book that I've read called A Time to Advance by Chuck Pierce and Robert Heidler. And it talks about the different months, but I want to read something from one of the chapters. And it says, God has an order in his months. The world does as well. If you don't align with God's order for the months, you will be aligned with the world's order. That's one of the ways the world controls your emotions, your activities, and your values by pressing you into a common mold. Our cycle of months in the world sets an order in our lives. Now, when I first read that, I thought, wait a minute, I'm not conformed to the world. I seek the Lord. But he goes on to explain, it's not as deep as people try to make it. You know, in January, the first thing people think of is what? Diets, getting back in shape because we've ate too much at Christmas. Then February, there's Valentine's Day. And March, there's St. Patrick's Day. And you keep going, you know. Now, they'll throw Easter in there and do the bunny thing. And then the changing of the seasons. And summer, people think about vacations. And then the fall, they throw in Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. And not all of these are bad things. But look how it shapes our culture, how we live our lives, how we plan, how we visit our family, how we do things in our lives. And, you know, as Kim taught a couple of months ago, Constantine took us off the Jewish calendar. And if God's people had not agreed to that, we would still be on the calendar, on the Jewish calendar today. And it would be on your wall, Elul 2nd, not August 22nd. So, in closing, this month, the king is in the field. Walk right into the field. Call him into your field. What's going to call him into your field? Well, he inhabits your praises. He always hears a repentant heart. And as we do that, he's going to give us forgiveness and mercy. He's already chosen that. And repentance is important because as we look ahead, Rosh Hashanah is when God promotes his people based on the previous year. I like to look at it like in school. You know, at the end of the year, you get the teacher would, well, when I was in school, the teacher would mark you whether you got promoted to the next grade level or not. And so Rosh Hashanah is something, that's when he would typically do that. And I don't want to be held back a grade. God has already chosen mercy.
and we need to repent. Don't be afraid to repent on behalf of others either. We can repent on behalf of our nation. We can repent on behalf of our children and our families. That's how we intercede for one another. He has chosen mercy. This is a month where we are his beloved, a month in the year of 5777 that God chose to do a total eclipse, I believe, in order to symbolize that he is willing to wipe our slate clean if we will repent. So this is an exciting month, and I'm excited for what he's going to do, especially in these next 40 days as we head into Rosh Hashanah. But that is what I have, Kim, on the month of Elul.
That's good, Kalita. Do you want to pray over the partners, and then I will pray over the partners?
Sure.
Okay.
So, Father God, we just thank you right now, God. We just thank you for this month that you've put us in, God. Lord, we thank you that this is the month that you are in the field. God, we just call you forth, God. We put a call out to you, Father. First of all, we repent as your people. And, Lord, I'm just asking you that you would show each one of us anything in our lives that is not pleasing unto you, that we may offer it up to you, Father God. We choose already to repent, God, so because we know you've chosen already to forgive us and to extend mercy. God, we come to you on behalf of our nation and behalf of our friends and our family, God, and we call forth repentance, God, and we repent, God, for the sins, Father, of our nation and for the body and for our families, God, and we're asking you to make yourself known this month that you're in the field, God.
Yes.
There's going to be more than just me in the field. My children are going to be in the field with me. My neighbors are going to be in the field with me. My grocery store is going to be in the field with me. My workplace, everywhere I go is my field, Lord. And let me be mindful of that, Father. And I invite you to be in my field every day this month as we go forth, Lord. I thank you for every partner, God, that every day you will meet them in their field. Every night you will remind them that you love them and that you have already chosen to forgive. And Father, as we head into the new year, God, I thank you that you're going to promote and you're going to bless, God. And I just speak a blessing over every partner that's listening or will listen to this teaching tonight, Lord, that they will begin to see the manifestation, God, of your promises in their lives, Lord. We just thank you tonight for this time together. We thank you for everything that you've done. We thank you that you are our beloved and we are yours, God. We just cannot thank you enough for all that you have done and that you are doing. And we give you praise, honor, and glory, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Father, I agree with everything that Kalita has prayed over our partners. And Father, I want to thank you again for every single partner of this ministry, for their faithfulness, God, for their desire, Lord, to know you more. And God, these people that come on the call and take their time to hear your word, Lord, you said that miracles, signs, and wonders would follow the teaching of the word. So, Father, I'm asking you to pour out miracles, signs, and wonders in the lives of every single person listening to this call. Father, if they need provision, I'm asking you to provide for them in abundance. God, if they need healing, I ask you to heal their bodies completely, make them whole. Father, if their children are away from you, God, we call them home in Jesus' name. We call them back to you in the name of Jesus. Father, we break every hindering spirit that would hinder the promises of God from manifesting in lives. We command those hindering spirits to be gone in Jesus' name and do not come back. Father, I believe we are in a season that you are pouring out your goodness on your people that are seeking your face. I thank you that we are a group of people, Lord, that are diligently seeking your face. So, Father, we cry out to you today that the goodness of God would be poured out on every single partner of this ministry. Pour your goodness out, Father God, on each person listening to this call. Pour your goodness out, God, to the point that they are overwhelmed with your goodness. Lord, I thank you for this exciting season that we're in. I thank you that we've just entered into the month, just now, God, entered into the month where our Lord is in the field, and we desire to visit him. We desire for him to visit us. We desire intimate times with him. So I'm asking you, Father, to give every single partner intimate times with their Lord this month, God, as we celebrate you, as we commit commune with you. Give us intimate times. Cause us to go deeper in you. Cause us to know you more and to see your hand more in our lives, Father God. We are so thankful for you. I am so thankful for you, Jesus, and I am so thankful for you, Father. I am so thankful for the Holy Spirit in our lives. I ask you, God, to pour out your blessings on every single partner of this ministry this month and cause them to walk in the promises of God. Give them the Spirit, the same Spirit that Joshua and Caleb have, that they would take their promises and they'd walk in them. We cast down every negative thought, every negative imagination, and we decide this day we will have a victory mentality from this day forth, and you will give us rest on every side, and you will give every enemy into our hand, and you will cause there to be no evil occurrences among us. That is your promise to your people, and we believe your word today, Father. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the call. I think we went a little longer than normal, but I really wanted you guys to get this word and to begin to walk in all that God has for you, because what he has for you is so big and so awesome that we have to renew our minds to be able to receive all the goodness that he wants to pour out in this season. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Be blessed, go in peace, and have a wonderful, wonderful month of Elul. We just now begun. I think yesterday was the first day. Enjoy the month and enjoy your king this month. Amen. Have a blessed night.